In this one, we have a Stephen King story. We have a story of a house that won't stop building and is now taking victims. And we also have something I call the Severed Fingers Delight. We're talking about 2002's miniseries, Rose Red. I hope you're going to enjoy this. I am Eric Lewis. This is Horror Spook Presents Hidden Gems. Horror Spook. How's it going, everybody? I am Eric Lewis. This is Horror Spook Presents Hidden Gems. And today we're talking about a movie that I watched when I was younger, watched it on TV, and I really haven't been able to get it out of my head since. Now, in recent time, I have actually bought the DVD. I bought it off flea market for $25, but we'll get a little more into why it was $25 very soon. But anyway, since you're here, go ahead and like my Instagram, Horror Spook on Instagram. Go ahead and like Facebook, and go ahead and give this podcast a rating so other people can see it, and hopefully also like it as well. But for this movie, we're talking about 2002's Rose Red. It came out January 27th through the 29th on ABC in 2002, and I don't really have how much money it made, because I really don't know how all that weighs in a television show. I don't know how television makes money and how we find that number. But I do have a little something. It did take $30 million for them to make the movie. That is the budget. And I do have a little bit of information. 13.3 million people watched this throughout the three nights. So to me, that's not too bad. I don't know really how you gauge that sort of thing, but to me, that doesn't seem bad at all. And it's Stephen King, so I'd assume that everybody wanted to watch it. But that might not have been true. Again, it premiered on ABC, and you can't really find it streaming anywhere. And also, it's in high demand to actually get the physical copy, and they don't make it anymore. So it's kind of hard to come by. I got mine for $25 at the flea market. You can also get yours at your local movie store. Just go and see if it's there. If it's not, call them maybe once a week and ask if it's there. Sometimes they just pop in, sometimes they pop out, but Amazon has them for $45 if you don't want to buy it for cheaper. But I would tell you to definitely utilize your local movie store and go find it at a cheaper price, because why pay more when you don't have to? But with that being said, let's go into a little bit of a synopsis, and here we go. The house is an early 20th century behemoth in Seattle named Rose Red, built by industrialist John P. Rembauer for his wife Ellen. While the house was under construction, John takes Ellen on a world tour. When she gets deathly sick in Africa, Ellen is nursed back to health by a local woman, Sakina, who Ellen brings back to her, with her as her maid to the couple's new home in Seattle. Rose Red seems like it has a bad nature from the beginning. A foreman is murdered during the construction, and Ellen and John's 5-year-old daughter mysteriously disappears without a trace. Later, John himself commits suicide by throwing himself out of a window at the top of Rose Red's tallest tower. Fast forward to modern times, when our academic professor, Joyce Reardon, decides that she is going to use Rose Red to prove that psychic phenomenon is real. She is dating Steve Rembauer, the last of the family. He has decided to tear the place down and put up condos, but he will let Joyce have a weekend to prove her theories before the wrecking ball moves in on it. For me, I do not think that synopsis was that bad. I thought it was pretty dang good. So anyway, let's get into our director and into our writer. For our director, we have Craig R. Baxley, who directed Action Jackson in 1988. He also did one episode of Harper's Island, which is also a miniseries from 2009. I would greatly tell you to go watch that. I was actually a fan of that miniseries. Also, he did stunts for Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1987. For our writer, we have none only but the man himself, Stephen King. You can read and watch things from him. We got Pet Sematary, we got The Shining, we got Christine, we got It, and we got Storm of the Century. If you think it stops there, it definitely does not stop there. So go watch his other things. Go read his other things. He literally has so much for you to read and watch. So please, go watch it. Go read it if you enjoyed the names that I put out for Stephen King in this episode. Go watch the other things. For our cast, we have Nancy Travis, who plays Professor Joyce Reardon. She's in So I Married an Axe Murderer in 1993 with Mike Myers. Also, she's in Last Man Standing as the wife to Tim Allen. And also, she's in Three Men and a Little Lady from 1990. Which I think is a sequel to Three Men and a Baby. We have Matt Kiesler. Matt Kiesler plays Steve Rimbauer. He is in Scream 3 from 2000. The Last Days of Disco in 1998. He's also in the show Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt in 2006. We have Kimberly J. Brown, who plays Annie Wheaton. You can find her in the Disney Channel movie Halloween Town in 1998. Also in Bringing Down the House in 2003 with Queen Latifah and Steve Martin. And also a movie called Big Bad Wolf from 2006. I have not seen that movie and I would actually be okay with watching it just because I do like werewolf movies and I hope you do as well. We have David Dukes, who plays Professor Carl Miller. You're going to hear a little bit of trivia about him, and it is some sad trivia, so, you know, a sad trigger warning, I guess. But you can see him in Gods and Monsters in 1998, Rawhead Rex in 1986, and The Winds of War in 1983. We have Judith Ivey, who plays Kathy Kramer. What a sweet soul. She is in The Devil's Advocate in 1997. She's in Flags of Our Fathers in 2006. She's also in Mystery Alaska in 1999. We have Melanie Lynskey, who plays Rachel Wheaton, who is actually the big sister to Annie Wheaton, who is played by Kimberly J. Brown. We can find her in Perks of Being a Wallflower from 2012. She's also in the new movie with a star-studded cast called Don't Look Up from 2021, and she's also in the show Two and a Half Men. You would definitely know her when you see her. Matt Ross, who plays Emery Waterman. He is in Captain Fantastic in 2016. He's in the movie Face Off in 1997. He's also in American Psycho in 2000 with whatever his name is, you know. Christian Bale. There we go. Christian Bale. That's it. Next, we have Julian Sands. Nick Hardaway is who Julian Sands plays. Very sweet character. Very understanding character. All around, to me, a very therapeutic character. Unless you are Emery in the story. Nick Hardaway is not really nice to Emery, but there is reason for that. You will find him in a movie called A Room with a View in 1985. He's also in the movie Warlock in 1989. And he's also in Arachnophobia in 1990. We have Kevin Tai, who plays Victor Kandinsky. He is in the movie K-9 in 1989. My Bloody Valentine in 3D from 2009. And also in the show Salem from 2014. We have Emily Deschanel, who plays Pam Asbury. She's in a show that most of us know called Bones. She's also in the movie Boogeyman. And she's also in a movie called Cold Mountain from 2003. I'm sorry, Boogeyman is from 2005. That was my fault. And we have a reoccurring character that was in this movie, Jimmy Simpson, that you know from the episode Stay Alive. If you have not listened to the episode of Stay Alive, go watch that movie and go listen to the episode. But Jimmy Simpson is also in that movie. He plays Kevin Bolliner. And, of course, he's in Stay Alive. And he's also in an animated, well, his voice is in the animated show movie called Nine of the Animated Dead from 2021. So go check out all those movies with the people that are in this movie. They do a wonderful job, and I know that they do wonderful jobs in other films as well. With me, I believe this film, the makeup is wonderful. The acting is top-notch all around. The children are good actors. The adults, good actors. All of them are just, to me, sublime when it comes to this film. The story is just so wonderful, made by Stephen King. There is story within story. There is twist within twists. Definitely a movie that is, to me, the haunted house movie. In my opinion, to me, of course. Not always, but to me. The scares are subtle, but they definitely do their job to freak you out. The overall essence of this movie is eerie, is creepy, and is silent. It's just such a scary idea. This movie is, you can tell that this house is just hauntingly silent, even with a score that we have, which was also so well done. The music was great. The psychic element really adds to the plot of this movie, and it's a really good way to stir up the scary pot of ghostly goop. I did write that myself, so please don't hate on me too much, but I will say the psychic element really adds to this story. If they were to take it out, I believe this film would not be as good. I believe the story really comes to life because of the psychic element to the story. Definitely worth it. One of the craziest scenes is what I like to call, in the intro, the severed fingers delight. There's a scene where Emery loses his fingers. The door slams on his fingers, cuts them off. It makes your skin crawl, while also being impressed by what's going on in the scene. That is not the only part of the scene, is his fingers getting chopped off. There is a whole scene going on, and this is just something that happens during this scene. Overall, the scene is very impressive. Him getting his fingers chopped off, you know, not as impressive, definitely more shocking than impressive, but you're impressed by the entire scene, and you're shocked by that one part of that scene. But overall, the scene is wonderful to watch. It's crazy. And you're shocked by what happens. Anyway, here is an ad from Anchor, and we will be right back to go into a little trivia and also our taglines for Rose Red. We will be right back after this break. And we are back. I hope you enjoyed that ad from Anchor. I hope you choose to use Anchor. Let me know if you heard it from my podcast. I will follow you and I will listen to you just because I'm proud that you heard it from my podcast. So anyway, let's get into some trivia for 2002's Rose Red. I will tell you, there might be a couple spoilers in this, but not too many, and it's not too bad of spoilers. So I'll just give you that. The series is loosely based on Sarah Winchester and the Winchester Mystery House. The story has noticeably strong ties to Shirley Jackson's book, which was made into the movie The Haunting, which Stephen King has mentioned was one of his favorite novels. And also, that's where you get the story from Haunting of Hill House that you find on Netflix. It is from this. Stephen King loves miniseries because it allows him to tell novels in a different format than film. And it also reaches a bigger audience because all you have to do is flip it to the channel and you're already paying for your cable. Which is a good point, and I really never thought of it that way, but Stephen King put it in the best of terms. After work on the script was delayed by Stephen King's automobile accident, he finished and revised the screenplay of Rose Red in a month, restructuring it as a miniseries instead. The writing proved very therapeutic for King. I was using the work as dope, basically, because it worked better than anything they were giving me to ease the pain. It was difficult pen pushing for 45 minutes a day, but it was vital to get back into work. Because you have to break the ice somehow, I either continued with the work or I'm not. And if I can do this, maybe I can walk or resume some kind of human intercourse. Work seemed a logical place to start. Thank you for working on Rose Red even after you were in a automobile accident. I hope you feel completely better now, though. Here's a little bit of the sad truth with David Duke. David Duke died of a heart attack while he was playing tennis the night before he was due to return to continue his scenes. So he died before he was even able to finish his scenes in the movie. And I think we actually have a little more trivia to answer that even on what happened with the rest of his scenes. Actor Matt Ross, who plays Emery, had to gain weight for the role of Emery. He also had to wear a fat suit on top of that. And he also did a wonderful job at acting because I actually don't like him in the movie, which is what he is supposed to be doing. And I'm sorry for bringing up that it's a movie and then I also say it's a miniseries. I know I'm kind of like on the fence on both of those, but to me they are the same thing. Just go with it. If you want to tell me there's a difference, go ahead and tell me. That's fine. But just know, I do know the difference. I understand. And I am sorry for saying it's a movie and it's a film and it's a miniseries and whatever, whatever you have it. But I do use them differently, and I'm sorry about that. Stephen King said he wanted to make the series to be a Moby Dick of haunted house movies. Something big, scary, and hard to forget. He also wanted the mansion to look user-friendly and not forbidden, including cozy interiors with warm and inviting colors. More than 400 carpenters worked on the sets between May and October 2000. The sets were so vast, some of the cast even got lost in them, which would be so impressive to see because that sounds wild. If I was to get lost in a set, that is a whole different type of set, and I'd be worried. Stunt coordinator Craig Baxley Jr., which is also our director, took David Duke's place for his zombie scenes, wearing the life mask created for Duke. ABC filmed this original Stephen King miniseries movie at Thornwood Castle in Tacoma, Washington. Restoration, construction, and filming for the movie took 6 months in 2000. The fictional Rose Red Mansion in the film was located at 9th and Madison in downtown Seattle. In reality, this location is a bridge crossing the I-5 corridor leading to St. James Cathedral. The road does not dead end either. Here is the room rates that you can actually rent a room in Thornwood Castle. Here we go. We got Grand View Suite at Thornwood Castle for $500 a night. We got the Presidential Suite for $400 a night. We got Anne's Suite for $400 a night. We got Lord Byron's Attic for $525 a night. It might be more spacious than attics usually are, I'm assuming anyway. We have Chester's Suite for $350 a night. We have the Blue Room for $350 a night. We have the Rose Red Suite for $350 a night. $350 a night, if you did not hear that. We have the Casablanca Suite for $325 a night. And we have the Gold Room for $325 a night. The Rose Red and Sewing Room combo is $150 plus a night. Casablanca and Gold Room combo is $200 more per night. Fans of Stephen King's books may notice numerous references to his first novel, Carrie, which also deals with a telekinetic girl. The Raining Stones and telekinetic girl named Annie are both directly from the novel, Carrie. And also back to Thornwood Castle. You get a a 15% discount if you book an overnight room through the website. So don't call them. Go to their website and book a room from the website and you get 15% off of your overnight rate. Stephen King liked his linked his cameo to a Where's Waldo type of situation. He does that with other movies. Kind of a Where's Waldo. He is not the person that you would expect. When Stephen King was still considering making Rose Red as a feature film with Steven Spielberg, the two had many creative disagreements over the tone of the film. Spielberg demanded more of thrill and action sequences, while King was dead set on a cerebral horror. Eventually, they couldn't come to the understanding, and the project was shelved, with King buying back the rights to the script. You get an idea of the kind of horror film Spielberg wanted when he made his subsequent Monster House in 2006. The glass floor is one of Rose Red's rooms, and it also references an early short story from Stephen King called The Glass Floor from 1967. At the end of the second part, when Joyce is walking around the ballroom, you can see that her weight has shifted, as Nancy Travis, the person who plays Joyce, was pregnant at the time of filming that part. Before being directed by Craig R. Baxley, Stephen King first offered the script to Mick Garris, who had directed King's screenplays like Sleepwalkers in 1992, The Stand in 1994, and The Shining in 1997. Garris turned it down, so King presented it to Mark Carliner. Carliner was producer on The Shining in 1997, and also producer of Storm of the Century in 1999. Carliner agreed to produce as a feature film. Just as King was about to begin script revisions, he was hit by a car while on a walk near his home on June 19th, 1999. And we already kind of heard about the automobile accident. Craig R. Baxley was amazed by the rock scene, but Stephen King's favorite effect shot was the courtyard statue pulling her face off. They wanted to keep the effects grounded, but in reality, 350 visuals were used overall. The library floor effect was achieved with the actress wading through a concealed pool, wearing Scotch Guard so it wouldn't get wet. The temperature was reportedly 30 degrees. That sounds terrible. And lastly, this was filmed in 4 months, but post-production took a further 6 months until it was actually ready for the public to see. Here we go for our taglines. From the imagination of Stephen King comes a disturbing new tale. Next tagline. This one was created in hell. We have every house has a story to tell. This one will kill you. There's no place like home. Some houses are born bad. Welcome to a place evil calls home. And lastly for the taglines, if some houses are born bad, this one was made in hell. And here is a stupid horror spook tagline that I made. To build, you must eat all of your food. That is the end of Rose Red. I hope that gets you to want to watch it. I hope you buy it. I hope that you find it for cheaper than what you can find it on Amazon. But I hope that I actually have made you want to buy it on Amazon for $45. Anyway, again, if you can rate this podcast, if you can like me on Facebook, if you can like me on Instagram, and also make sure to tell your friends about Horror Spoop, I will be back next week to scare you again. Thank you for listening to this. I am Eric Lewis, and this is Horror Spoop Presents Hidden Gems. You guys have a good week.